Well, good afternoon. This is Hunter Strickland, the Children's and Young Adult Literature Editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education at UGA. I'm sitting here with Stan Mullins, a local artist and author in Athens, Georgia, and we're going to talk a little bit about the work that he is doing here. So, Stan, welcome. If you want to just tell me a little bit about the work you do in Athens to start off.
Okay. Hey, man. Very nice to be here. And kind of true to form, a train is coming, so that's the noise that you'll hear in the background. And yes, my studio is near the train tracks. But I'm in Athens, Georgia, and I've been kind of an artist, sculptor, painter most of my life. Books are a relatively new adventure for me. But I'm finding it pretty exciting. And I'll maybe cut it after that.
Sure.
And in the sense of...
So yeah, Stan, go ahead and tell me how, like, what made you turn towards children's books in the first place, and how'd you get started in that as well?
It's a journey in the sense that most of my artwork visually has a narrative behind it. For those of you who are kind of doing a voice, so it's not visual right now, but all of my work is very figurative. A lot of the things that I'm working on, sculpture, painting, have storylines or are related to kind of a bigger picture, if you will, of a narrative. Mm-hmm. Not that I have to know everything about the narrative. There's a lot that's left to the viewer. But one of the fun things that I've always kind of embraced is that storyline. And I'm an avid reader. I've always been. And kind of falling into the children's book avenue has really been seamless in the sense of, like, as a child I read, as an adult I read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why would I not kind of carry that over? And I'm
sure.
Laughing with you, where it's just like, you know, it just does kind of make sense.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So tell me, what was the first book that you wrote?
I've got a lot of unfinished and unpublished stuff. I've been keeping a journal pretty much my whole adult life, going back to 1986. I've had a pretty constant interaction with keeping thoughts down on paper, just because I know I don't want to forget them. Okay, so that's a personal side of things. And then with kind of some of the bigger art projects, for example, I went to Rwanda back in 93, right before the genocide, and 94, immediately before the genocide. I was working on an actual novel about that maybe someday will come into fruition. But around 1995, I was working with a buddy of mine. He's the guy that wrote the movie Doc Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Really prolific artist, author. His name is Neil Shulman, Dr. Shulman. And he was putting together another children's book that was based off of one of his novels. And we were working on kind of a screenplay and doing some other stuff, and that kind of came to be, and that was what's called Under the Backyard Sky. That was
mm-hmm.
published with Petrie Publishers, and essentially that was the first time I got really introduced into the real legit publishing world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what do you feel like that process was for you? Because you were the illustrator on that book.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about joining that process of publishing alongside an author?
It was fantastic. Sibley Fleming was a co-author with him. She's the granddaughter of Atlanta people might not remember Celestine Sibley.
Okay.
She was the kind of the columnist on the AJC for a long, long time. And Sibley's an accomplished writer in herself. But essentially, it was Neil, Sibley, and myself that had these creative meetings, and they were chaotic and like bedlam. And I was laughing. It was frustrating as hell. I'm saying that with a smile. But that's creativity. It gets messy.
Yeah.
And the meetings that we had, I likened it to like a sitcom that was definitely post Dick Van Dyke. Remember that show? That was all about like... a comedy writer,
right?
But it was behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
and this was uglier than that. But it was funny, and it was a fun process. And so the collaboration, as a visual artist, I'm in the creative world most of my day. But I'm not in the collaborative world. I'm not in a rock and roll band where I'm dealing with three other guys. I'm not in that kind of, like, mm-hmm. lay the bass down like this, or, you know, really telling someone my vision. I'm able to do my vision. So this was different, and it was a really neat gateway for me to get in the publishing world and get in the kind of the collaborative art, which is most of living anyway. Mm-hmm. So it was a really neat experience, and our book is now... It's got a life of its own. It's doing pretty well. I think Peachtree Publishers has gone by the wayside, but the book exists, and we're still talking about, like, Neil is never ending. And what I mean by that is, like, he is this tenacious, creative person, a force, and he's trying to get the book into a movie form. We're talking about animation. Every 6 months or so, he lets me know he's still pushing things. Mm-hmm. So that is always neat to know that your artwork lives on. And it was and is kind of one of those projects that I'm real happy that I got involved with early on. And
so Stan, one of the great things about your writing of children's books is that one of your other books, Codolino, you're trying to get into a second printing, right?
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit, what's the story of Codolino about, and then where are you going with it?
Okay, Codolino is essentially a play on words. It's a children's book about a dog. Okay, that's the first thing. And how I like to say it, again, I'm kind of laughing at myself with this, is it's the greatest story ever told by a dog. So the whole idea of it is it's Jesus's puppy. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking a second ago about, like, the narrative and the big picture that kind of came about through the loss of one of my dogs. And it was around Christmas time, and this whole kind of narrative filled me up, and to the point of I wanted it to overflow, and that's how creativity starts. And literally, I had a much longer story involved where the nativity scene and what is essentially now Codolino was kind of the preface. And it dawned on me in thinking of all of this stuff, and this is kind of like speaking to any creative person out there, don't get yourself overwhelmed. Do the things you know and take step by step. And we were talking about the nitty-gritty of the process. We're never going to be perfect anyway. So as, you know, a lot of people have been known to say, perfect is the enemy of the very good, mm-hmm. These kinds of things, get it out there. And that's what you're doing with your book what I'm doing with mine is kind of the same thing, where it's like it's a process, mm-hmm. and it's fun.
Yeah, I think a lot of times authors get stuck when it's not quite
everybody,
as good.
Not yeah. just authors, everybody, right. We get stuck. And we think, oh my God, it's got to be this, it's got to be that. And yes, we want it to be perfect, but it's not going to be anyway. Mm-hmm. So make it very, very, very good.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about how critical we can be of our own works too. Like, even yeah. once we get a finished product, immediately after giving it to someone else, we're like, oh, there's
yeah,
all
I mean,
these little things.
Cringing is kind of some of the stuff you might do, but also it exists.
Right.
So taking that in context... you know, something in stone, for example, a stone sculpture, a marble sculpture, granite. Dang, I wish I could go back and keep working on something. Also, I can let it go and let it have a life of its own. And the written word, an image, something carved in stone. I mean, all these things are lasting. And let's face it, we're not going to be perfect anyway.
Right.
So try and make it and then stand by it. Or correct it if you need to. Mm-hmm. There's spell check. You know, thank God. You know?
There is. Yeah, so we talked briefly before about, like, your hope for using Codolino in the community and really all over the world. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, and so what you were saying, so Codolino, the first edition, I think I printed about 500. And I self-published the book and went through all the proper procedures for a couple of different reasons, because I liked the concept of having a puppy. I mean, who doesn't really love a puppy? And also, Jesus's puppy is a very subtle, and I think non-confrontational way of getting a certain message across. Again, it's the greatest story ever told, dot, 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 by a dog.
Right.
So the funny thing of that is it's a little tongue-in-cheek, if you will. The message is subliminal but clear, mm-hmm. if you choose to look at it.
Yeah, I agree.
So self-publishing it was the first step for me to get it out there, copywriting the idea and all the different things like that. So now trying to move it into the second printing, I'm going to hopefully look back with clear eyes and do the things I couldn't have done with the first printing, correcting some things, changing some things. Not major, but some subliminal things that I've now, as we were just talking about, being self-critical and getting others' input, making hopefully the book a lot better, and then moving it forward into the bigger vision of it being a little, what's the idea, for a child, a young person, a little person. I want it to be kind of special, and intimate's the wrong word, but something cherished. Mm-hmm. Cherished is the word I'm looking for. Yeah. It becomes their little treasure. So maybe a hard copy, soft fake leather, something like mm-hmm. that. But now I have these options.
Yeah, and so this, of course, stems from what we talked about earlier today, that where your cover came from, the influence yeah. on the book. Do you want to tell the listeners briefly that story?
I'd love to, and I do want to show some pictures, because in the sense that one of the big projects, and everything dovetails or joins in odd ways when you look back in time. We have the luxury of time in the sense of like looking back at certain elements of our life. In the middle of them, you don't know what's going on because you're in the middle of it. I was working on a painting. It was a commission for a cathedral in Italy. It was Spirito Santo is the name of the church. And I was working on a large scale painting of the deposition of Christ. And I was working on it in sight, which was in the cathedral. So I was using the light where the painting was going to be hung mm-hmm. as my natural paint light. Painting itself is maybe 3 feet wide by about 8 feet tall-ish, so pretty big. Mm-hmm. And for the downtime, I mean, I'm working on it most of the day in the sense of hours, but you get bored and you wander around, and here I am in this really beautiful old, maybe 15, it's a Renaissance church. And so I started rooting around in there because I got kind of the run of the place. Mm-hmm. It was fabulous. And I found this back in the back, behind where kind of the workings of the church, you know, all this neat stuff, like the incense, all of the inner workings of the church. And I found this old, what is kind of like in English, kind of like a hymnal, a personal hymnal. I know there's a Latin word, but I'm spacing on it right now. But anyway, it was a beautiful, real intimate, personal book that's about 2 inches thick, and it's got a leather hardcover, very wrought, ornate cover. The pages, that looking at it, they're gilded, you know, so it looks like a kind of a gold-edged brick. Mm-hmm. And when you open it up, it's got these intimate drawings. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And that became kind of the artistic base for the I'm trying to think, the kind of the inspiration of Codolino.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, and we'll make sure to post some pictures of this as well, along with this audio. I guess just for the final question, Stan, and then you can just add anything you'd like to.
We've got dogs in the background.
We also have dogs in the background because we're very authentic with this podcast.
Nice.
You know, we've talked a lot about like community outreach for young artists and young writers together. But do you have any advice that you'd give to students or children in the Athens area that are interested in art or writing, just from your perspective?
Yeah, and I'm sorry I got by the wayside on the last question about using the book as outreach, which kind of dovetails into this question. Do it. You know, Nike has that just do it thing. It is kind of that. We have to get, the process is never clean. We have spell check, thankfully, now. But the advice is really get yourself out there. you know, it takes courage. Putting your thoughts and ideas out for someone to look at and comment on, it's easy to destroy. So the thing is, I'm going to say is, it's hard to create. So create. Mm-hmm. Do the hard thing. Do something positive instead of just bashing or talking negative about something. If you want to talk negative about something, I would say put your actions out first and do something positive instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And just one last thing, I guess, if anybody wanted to check out your art, you have a website.
I do, yeah, stanmullins.com. And, of course, now the ubiquitous Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything. Stan Mullins Art Studio is easy to post a lot of stuff. I'll be putting some more, following this, I'll follow through and put some more images on there about, like, Codolino and maybe okay. The process. Just to supplement this as well. But yeah, look me up and come visit early and often.
That's great. Thanks so much, Stan.
Yeah, man. This is a pleasure.